Mitzvah Vim is this week's parsha, and I want to look at the introduction that Rav Sherman wrote in the article. It says, this is the last day of Moshe's life. He gathers every member of the congregation, the lowliest, the young, the old, the greatest, the men, women, and he initiated them for the very last time into the Bris Hashem, the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what was new about this was the concept of areivut, responsibility, one Jew for another, under which every Jew is obligated to assist others to keep the Torah and to do whatever they can to prevent another person from violating the Torah. This is why Moshe began by saying, I'm going to tell you all of the different strata, all the different types of people that we have standing here before him. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not hold them responsible for sins that someone else did secretly. You're not supposed to know what somebody else does that you don't see. But for public observation of an Aveiro, the Or HaChaim says, you have responsibility. He says, this is what he calls the worldview of the Yid. And it explains why we are not permitted to be apathetic to the shortcomings of others, and why any public desecration of Torah is a concern of every Jew of good conscience.
The incident with Joshua, where one guy took some of the spoils. What happened? He was doing it in secret, correct? It wasn't a public.
I don't think it was public, though, because no one knew.
Yet everyone was punished for it. I mean, there was a casualty.
You're asking me, how is it that one man's sin caused the public a punishment? I don't know the answer. I can't. Huh? The Medrash, he says, when the people heard last week's Teichacha, the 98 curses, he says, they turned all kinds of colors in fright, and they were ready to give up. They said, there's no way. This nation will not exist. Therefore, Moshe confronts them and saying, in spite of all that happened in the past, we're all standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about the history from the time you left Mitzrayim, and think of all the various challenges that arose, and everyone is still here. He said, it's good that everyone has fear of this type of admonition, because this is a preventative issue to avoid people from sinning, and he quotes Rashi saying that sins would never result in total destruction. Unfortunately, we know that Jewish history is rife with significant punishment. Okay. I'm just fumbling with my safer. You'll excuse me. Hashem said, I will spend my arrows at the Jewish people, but my arrows will be spent, but not they. An archer aimed his bow at a ceiling and shot continuously. Right? But the ceiling stood, no matter how many arrows were lodged in it. The Jewish people are stronger than that metaphoric ceiling. And notwithstanding the arrows, Hashem promised they will survive. Moshe said, this day resembles the same day as the first Shavuos when you were given the Torah. There is now a new grish, a new oath that binds you. Why did Hashem make this new grish before Klal Yisrael goes into Israel? He says the utter isolation of the desert experience proved they were only here because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles. Providence for their survival may have been an incentive, right, to keep doing as many mitzvot as possible in the desert. When you go into Eretz Yisrael and life goes on to what God and what we call normalcy, which is just another creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, there would be significant danger that we know, right, that they could rebel. It happened. It did happen. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu again gives them a covenant and is in effect giving them preventative medicine so they don't become sick. Moshe says, you're all entering into this new bris. Leaders, Yehoshua, Elazar, the 70 leaders, seven, right? The leaders of the tribes, all of the Sanhedrin, all of the judges, over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over tens, every single male, every single female, who may not even understand my words, but by trying to adhere to them, you will be rewarded. Your children will therefore be given training in Torah and mitzvahs. This bris includes the geirim, the converts among you who chop wood and draw water. Moshe was referring to a group of Canaanim who asked to be accepted as geirim. Moshe made them these water drawers and choppers of wood, and I believe because they didn't fully tell them who they were. He also, through HaKodesh, saw that those who were from Gibeon would try to deceitfully convert in the days of Yehoshua to save their lives. And I guess they reached a certain level of conversion, and so Moshe had inclusionary words even for them. Every single Jew who would be born after that moment was bound. even though their physical existence was not there, it says their neshama, every neshama was there, similar to Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisroel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to accept the Torah again with a shvua, an oath, before I'm gone. Hashem swore to Avram Yitzchok V'Yaakov that he would never exchange Klal Yisroel for anyone else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he's bound by this oath, and therefore he wants every single yid in existence, right, to be bound, so you've got equal, so to speak, representation on both sides. It says, in the days of Yechezkel, some Jewish elders who were discouraged by the level of suffering at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar asked the Navi, perhaps we are free from fulfilling mitzvahs because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has sold us to Nebuchadnezzar. The same way a master sells his slave to a different owner and is gone. Yechezkel said, wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired Klal Yisroel as his servants. They were only temporarily being given into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar because of their sins. The oath, the shvua made, binds Klal Yisroel forever. Moshe said, look around. There are those of you who survived and lived in Mitzrayim, and you saw their images of wood and stone. You saw their idols of gold and silver, which, surprisingly, they locked up in their homes because these gods couldn't protect themselves. You saw their pagan worship, and some of you may have been impressed by what their seemingly materialistic success looked to. There are others who saw how the gods of Edom, Amon, Moav, and Midian were worshipped. And he says, perhaps there will be people in this assembly, right, who inertly, secretly will worship these Getchkes and insincerely answer Amen when he hears this declaration, cursed be the man who makes an idol. He may believe that Hashem does not punish a man for evil thoughts, or that he as an individual is immune to any divine curse, which were said. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, this is not true. If someone believes I will ignore this bris covenant and I'll follow my own dictates, he will not be forgiven by Hashem. Hashem is going to punish the individual who with thoughts serves idols. And Moshe said, I'm warning, don't give up. Don't give in to your Yetzer Hara, even a bit. Once you let the Yetzer Hara have free reign, you're going to have a difficult time with Avera. It says the Yetzer Hara first tells an individual, do a klein Avera, do a small sin, and adds, and attempts to get its victim to get deeper and deeper into sin. It says, initially, the Yetzer Hara has a small thread of a hold, but it gets getting bigger and bigger, and then it can become a strong rope. He says, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to forgive someone who desecrates this bris. If one deliberately does aveiros, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish even for what he calls the inadvertent sins. The divine anger is going to be kindled against that person, and the curses of the Torah will be fulfilled. Moshe then turned to the future and talked about time when Jewish people would in fact worship idols. And when the Gentiles will look at how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished you for this by the Golus, right? By us being tossed out of the land, by the destruction at the two Korban, the people will ask, why is it that Jewish people, the Jewish nation, seems to suffer a unique form of punishment? And he says, your descendants will say, it is because you first accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bris oath, and then the people transgressed it. And Moshe then brings up, we talked about the notion of us being responsible to do whatever we can to avoid public sins. It says, Klal Yisrael said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we understand and we agree that if somebody sins publicly and we don't take action, that deserves punishment. But again, they question, what happens when someone sins in private? And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed that it's only the public display of Averos that you're responsible for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu postponed this public responsibility until the Jews crossed into Eretz Yisrael. And only after they had heard the blessings and curses on Har Gerizim and Har Eivol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reward was, is, and always will be proportionately greater than punishment. He said that the entire community suffers because of an individual's public sin. If that's the case, since mitzvos are so much greater, how much does Klal Yisroel get reward for a public display of one individual's mitzvahs? He quotes from Mishle, the whole world is maintained because of one tzaddik's merits. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. And Klal Yisroel accepted this oath. It became an oath that stands alongside the Bris at Sinai. Moshe then promises that if the Jewish people will do tshuva in exile, there will be gula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem them. Moshe says, when all of the Torah's curses, unfortunately, have been realized, in generations that have fallen low, take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words to heart. Return. Make an effort to do tshuva in Golos. Listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Klal Yisroel said, at that stage of the game, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept tshuva? Moshe said, I'm going to tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I accepted Cain's tshuva when he killed Hevel. Won't I accept yours? He murdered his brother, and a decree was issued. He would become Novenod, an outcast and a wanderer on the earth. But when he confessed, when he said, I sinned, half his decree was rescinded, and I gave him the land of Nod. Achav's tshuva was accepted. Achav, the king over the 10 northern tribes, was so addicted to Avodah Zarah that he tried to erase God's name whenever it was in the Torah, and he tried to stick in the word Baal. Right? Baal created. It says there was no hill in his kingdom where there wasn't an idol erected at his behest. Achav killed a man named Navos, whose vineyard he wanted. God sent Eliyahu Hanavi to say, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Navos, who you killed, there they are going to lick your blood, Achav. Eliyahu said, I am going to bring evil on you, and I am going to cut off your lineage. Your house and your family is going to become extinct like the houses of Yeravam and Basha, other previous kings. For you angered me, and you made Klal Yisroel sin. Achav's wife, Izevel, was one of the most terrible people. She instigated him to Avera. And it says, the dogs will eat Izevel by the wall of Yisrael, a place. When Achav heard this, he tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth. he called Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was the Yehuda. Somehow they were Muchotanim. And he asked Yehoshaphat to give him Malkus twice daily. He began to fast 3 hours a day. He didn't eat until the ninth hour. He walked barefoot, and he davened to Hashem to forgive him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Eliyahu and said, "Do you see how Ahav is now humbling himself before me? Because he is so remorseful, I will not bring evil on his days, but it will only happen his son's lifetime." We learn in the Gemara in Chelek, in the Avodah Zarah, which we learned with the Rav, about certain people who seem to may have lost their share in Olam Haba, etc. And it says that Menashe, the king, right, Chizkiyahu's son, who was the king of Yehuda, put a four-faced idol in the base of Migdash, so that he said, wherever one comes from, they can immediately serve this idol. The Shekhinah left the base of Migdash. The fire which came to the Mizbeach from Hashem was extinguished. And the golden fruits which Shlomo Melech had decorated the base of Migdash and which seemed, appeared lifelike, now withered. There was no atrocity that Menashe did not commit to eradicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name from Jewish consciousness. Okay. We will pick up with this. Bottom line is, Menashe, it seems in the Gemara, was able somehow to get Olam Haba. Okay. We'll start again tomorrow, and have a great day. Yasher Koch.